that would God would send to us. I'd like to go to my message to you today, and my message scripture reading is in Haggai. So turn to the Old Testament, and it's not very, very far back into the Old Testament. Comes a few books back from Matthew. So go to Haggai, and we're going to start reading at the fifth verse, Haggai 1. Now consider thus, says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there is not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains, bring wood, and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, I blow it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. Because of my house, which lies desolate, while each of you runs to his own house. Therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. I call for a drought on the land, drought in the land, on the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, on the oil, and what the ground produces, on men, on cattle, and on all the labor of your hands. If you would, bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these men of old, these prophets of old, Lord, that brought your word to the people of their time, reminding them when they fell short, when, Heavenly Father, things was not like what you would have it to be. And Heavenly Father, we know that these are times in which we need to be reminded also, just like the people of old. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words that we read and the thoughts that we will express. And help them to help each of us as you would have. And in the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask. Amen. And I'd like to give you my text verse. And my text verse is the verse 7 of Haggai 1, and that verse, really, along with the verse 5, says this. Well, I'm reading actually verse 7. Thus saith, says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. It was a time in the country in which the nation of Judah and Israel before it had been taken into captivity. There were maybe a few left in the country, but it was a time of desperation. It was time in which, after 70 years of captivity, at least some of the people that had been there prior to 70 years before. And we're talking about in the neighborhood of 600 years before Jesus was on this earth. 600 years before Jesus, Judah went into captivity, into Babylon. And so as they return 70 years later, then it was desperate times. People were seeking to get back into the land, to get back on their feet, to get back into the what was considered normal for them, how they made their living, whether it was farming, whether it was raising sheep or cattle, whether it was having a vineyard, all of the things in which they made their living and enjoyed their lifestyle. They had been away and they were trying to get back on their feet, but things were desperate. And in times like this, of the time in which those people lived, as well as in the time in which we live right now, can be easily compared. What was going on? Why it was going on? Why it happened in the first place that they lost their land and their property, lost their home, sometimes families separated from each other. And naturally, in times like that, at least at some point in time, you come to your senses and you start asking yourself, you evaluate things, and you ask yourself, why all of this happened? And just as back then, people were desperately seeking to read the signs of their times. But they wasn't seeking desperately enough. And that's why God has His prophets of old to reveal what needs to be brought to the people. To wake the people up, perhaps, sometimes. Get them back on the right track for Him. Things were going on at that time, just like they are here today with us. Things are going on that at times should not be going on. And at that time, there was a prevalent situation that was very important. Priorities was not in order. And God had to bring this to their attention through the prophet Haggai. People desperately seek to read the signs of their time. They want to know, what do I have to do to be healthy or become healthy if I'm not? They want to know, what do I have to do to have health and to keep it? What do I have to do to be happy, to have peace and contentment, peace of mind? A little bit of joy would not hurt. What do I have to do to get these kind of feelings, to get this prevalent in my life? What do I have to do to be a success and not a failure? To have more. People prevalently right now today, they want to know, what do I have to do to have more? To make more money so that I can get more and do more. Obviously, this kind of thinking is inward, isn't it? This kind of thinking is only about self. This kind of thinking, obviously, is very materialistic. Politicians, and we can relate to this quite a bit today, politicians seek to place blame for their problems or the problems of the country. Politicians seek to place the blame on somebody else. They don't want to take the blame themselves. When things don't go our way and we don't get what we think we deserve, do we not do the same thing? We seek for somebody else that's causing our problems. Why didn't somebody else do this? Why didn't the government step in? Why don't the government have a program for this or that? Whatever is going on, we tend to look inward. We tend to think only of ourselves and what someone else can do, perhaps to make my life better. Politicians do what they do so that they can obtain a win or a victory. Military leaders, they got their minds set on what kind of weapon can I get that will make my country more secure, a bigger, more destructive weapon? What can I do to as a defense mechanism in case we are attacked? All of this is thinking about your own particular needs, your own particular satisfaction. It's all looking much too inward, and it all has focus on the wrong thing. Jeremiah 8:6, I'd like to read that. Jeremiah 8:6 says, and this is the Lord, this is God speaking, "I have listened and heard. They have spoken what is not right. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, 'What have I done?' Everyone turned to his course, like a horse charging into battle." Jeremiah had perilous times there also. And you know what Jeremiah is saying? He's saying that God speaks and says, "I see man, and I have heard and listened. And what I've heard and listened to is not right. No man come to his senses about what was going on and ask himself, 'What did I do wrong?'" In other words, there was no self-examination at the time. They just charged into their own life and their own problems and circumstances. And in Jeremiah's words relating, everyone turned to his course, went about what he was doing, didn't evaluate, didn't ask, what have I done? Did not remember God and ask forgiveness of God in what might have been going on, but just like a horse, did what he was used to doing and charged into the battle. Forgiveness was not sought. Everybody went about the usual thing, only thinking of their self. God, through Haggai, says, consider. Through Haggai, God says, consider your ways. At times it gets to the point that we need to consider what we're doing. What have I done? Why are things like they are for me? How did I get here? What caused this to happen? Perhaps we're the one that caused our situation. Perhaps we're the one that made the choice that put us in an uncomfortable position that we could not deal with or did not have the right words to deal with. You know the bottom line to all of this? The bottom line is that way too often we get into a situation and we get into a period of time in which we are so caught up in our everyday life and the hustle and bustle that's going on and just doing what we got to do that we forget God. We leave God out, just seeking to do our own thing. God, through Haggai, says, consider your ways. With the questions being, when you do what you got to do, and you live the life the way you're living it, are your ways wise? Is this really thought out? Is this what you ought to do? Is it wise? Is it profitable? Is what I'm doing, the decisions I'm making, is it leading to a successful outcome? Does it end well, our decisions and the way we're living our life? Haggai explains the present conditions to the people of his time. And know that the prevailing conditions at the time of Haggai, of our scripture reading, is primarily to deal with forgetting God, going about the way that you normally are living your life, forgetting God, and forgetting God's house of worship. God's house was destroyed during this period of time. And when the people went back to the land, then they just rebuilt their houses and did their own things and made their own selfish decisions, built their houses, and it said something about paneled walls. So obviously the houses were completed and they were nice and everybody was doing their own thing, returning to their house, eating, drinking, and supposedly being merry, carrying on. But what was the main issue? They forgot God during all of this. Even after 70 years of captivity and coming back to their land, they got there, the house of God was destroyed, and yet they were going back to just their normal life and not doing anything about God's house, about rebuilding His house. What should have been priority one was well down the list. They didn't have their priorities in order. They forgot and left off God. Young people, you know, you've got a lot of decisions coming up, and you've already had a lot of decisions in your life, but you're going to have a lot more because you're just starting life compared to a lot of us. You're going to have decisions concerning who you choose as a husband or wife. You're going to have decisions concerning whether or not you should further your education. You're going to have decisions whether or not what particular type of work that you go into. There's a lot of decisions that's coming up, that especially for the young people. All of us, really. But just speaking to the young people, the decisions you make are very, very important. And you know, when you think about any of these decisions, your husband, your wife, possibly, who will it be? How will I find him? Where will I meet him? How will things happen? Should I go to college, not go to college? A lot of those decisions are very, very important, but I want you to know one thing. Every decision in life, there's one thing that you should think of first. And that's what the people of the scripture reading that I've just read you forgot. But it's the most important one. And it doesn't matter whether you're talking about money, whether you're talking about a husband or wife, whether you're talking about an education, whether you're talking about your work, whether you're talking about something that will have a vocation that will allow you to make a lot more money to where you can provide better for your family. All of those questions, any and every decision or question that you have in your life, the very first thing that you should always think of to ask is, what would God have me to do? In other words, I'm saying, think of God first. It doesn't matter what you're thinking of. It doesn't matter what the question is. It doesn't matter anything, whatever anything. The very first thing you should think of is, I'll get down on my knees and pray to God. I'll ask God for the answer. I'll ask Him to let me know about my education, where to go to college, whether or not I should go or not. I'll ask Him about giving me the right kind of mate that I can have a great family and great children and live my life the way He would have it to live, because that will be the most happy and successful way for you to do. But you've got to remember to thank God. Think of God first. Go to Him for your answer and your help. And these people in Haggai's time forgot God. Things would have been much better. You've heard the saying, things go better with Coke, right? I'm saying things go better with God. And that should be one thing that you never forget in your entire life, is that God is there to help you. You're one of His children as you have accepted Him. He's there for you. He won't ever leave you or forsake you. All you got to do is remember to go to Him, to remember to converse with Him, carry on a conversation, let Him know what the problem is, let Him know what answer, that you need an answer for a particular question. Ask Him for the help. Ask Him to let you know what to do. That's where the people of Haggai's time, they got into a bad situation. They got God's attention by leaving God out, by not considering Him. Haggai explains to the people at that particular time, he explains the results or the consequences of forgetting God. Leaving Him out. Putting Him off. It all amounts to the same thing. Putting Him off, leaving Him out, forgetting Him. There's consequences to that when you're speaking of the one who was responsible for bringing you into this world, who brought you into this world for a purpose and gave you life and breath. The primary thing is to know Him, to seek His will, and to keep yourself right with Him through your whole entire life, and to do right by your brother or sister. Not only including the people within your church as brothers and sisters, but your neighbors and all people. To treat Him right, to do right, to keep your word, to have integrity. Have y'all ever looked up the word integrity? Integrity is a very important word. One of the most important, I would say. It has to do with doing what you say you will do. Keeping your word. Doing what is right toward God. Doing what is right toward man. Integrity. That's what we should all be about, partly. Haggai explained the consequences of leaving God out to the people of his time. And he says, well, you'll go to work, and you'll have a good job, and you'll make good money, but it will come to not much. Why? Because you've got your eyes on the wrong thing. You've got your priorities out of order. Fruitless toil. You'll work. You might even have a good job. You might even be making good pay. But even with all of that, a lot won't come out of it. Because you're leaving God out. You're not doing God right. Takes more than just an education. Takes more than choosing the right occupation. Takes more than having a terrific family and a terrific husband or wife. I'm saying you leave God out and it still won't work to your favor. You still won't have the peace and joy and happiness and satisfaction that you will have if you will do things God's way. The result of leaving God out is that you will have fruitless toil. You'll be hungry, you'll be thirsty, you'll eat and you'll drink, but you won't be satisfied. What you eat won't give you a feeling of satisfaction. What you drink won't quench your thirst. You'll be cold. You'll have clothes. You should be warm, but you're not warm. Because you left God out. Because God don't occupy the right place in your heart or life. You haven't put God first. You haven't done things God's way. That's why things are not going right. That's why you have certain problems that you don't seem to be able to shake. You haven't done things God's way. Something is not right. Something is left out. Perhaps God is completely out. Perhaps He never has got into your heart in the way that He should. Perhaps you're not dedicated. Perhaps you're not sincere enough. A lot of people have superficial religion. A lot of people go to church, and yet things are not right. God has not got down in the heart. You have clothes, but you're not warm. You have food, but you're still not satisfied. You have something to drink, but you're still thirsty. Storms blow on every one of us. Storms of life come to each one of us. Problems, perhaps diseases, almost anything can happen to any of us. Winters come. It's normal. They're going to come. When we have the storms of life come to us, will we be able to stand? Will we be able to resist the storms of life? Will we be able to resist temptations in our life? Will we be able to stay warm in the winter when the winters of life come? These people in Haggai's time had all of these things, but yet nothing was complete. Nothing was satisfactory. What about material? What about riches? What about having a lot of money in this same regard that we're speaking of all the other factors? Haggai 1 and 6 says this. You have sown much. You put out a lot of seed, farmers. But you're harvesting little. You eat, but there is not enough to be satisfied. You drink. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages put into a purse with holes. What's that saying? You might have riches. You might have plenty enough money coming in. But when you have the money, you put it into your pocket or you put it into your purse, and then it is as if your purse or your pockets has holes in them. That's what the Word of God says through Haggai. Fleeting riches. Money comes to you. It leaves just as fast. It don't accomplish what you would think that it should. Mark 8:36 says, "What should it profit? What shall it profit you to have everything and not have the Lord?" Let's go to Luke 12 and 15. Luke 12, let's start back to 13. Some in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who hath appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you?" Then he said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." And he told them of a parable saying, "The land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?' Then he said, This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat and drink and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared?' So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Do you see? The farmer had everything going his way. He had everything coming to him. But he was only thinking about self, seeking to be secure, seeking to build bigger barns for things that he thought was coming to him because things was going his way. But God was telling him, "Why are you doing this? You're not going to live past tonight. And yet you're thinking way out in the future. You're not thinking about how to be rich, truly rich, which is to have God within you and doing His will." Haggai explains how this happened to the people. And he explains basically that it happened by leaving God out. Putting God's work off. Putting our work first. We had things out of order. They had things out of order. We do today also. We're leaving God out. We're putting God off. Something else is taking God's place in our life. Why do we have the problems? Why does our money not seem to go very far? Why do we sometimes make commitments that we can't keep? Or it doesn't work out that we can keep them? I'd say we need to self-examine ourselves. Just like God said in my text to you today, consider your ways. Think, it's saying, think. Come to your senses. Ask yourself, what is causing these problems to all come my way? What is causing me not to be any more successful than what I am? There is a reason. And I've said this before, and I'll continue to say it many, many times in the future. This book has all the answers for every problem that you have and every concern that you have. God has the answer. And all you have to do is remember Him. Go to Him for the answer. And then do what He says to do. Do what His Word says to do. God will reveal the answer to you. He'll let you know what to do. But we have to not leave him out or put him off or put ourselves before him or our ways. Selfishness is part of what we're talking about here. Looking only inward, thinking only of ourselves and our concerns. Selfishness, self-love. What does that mean? Same kind of thing, isn't it? We love ourselves. We want ourselves not to. We want ourselves to feel good, to think good of ourselves, to think highly of ourselves, to feed ourselves with the things that we want, and give ourselves the things that ourselves wants. We can call that self-love. Becoming indifferent toward God and becoming indifferent toward God's plan for us. Being ungrateful. Not knowing and giving God the praise and honor for everything that He does in our life. Giving Him the glory. Perhaps not even thinking of Him when we do these praise and worship songs. That has those real good words in there about giving glory and honor to God and thanking Him for everything that He does for us. And where are our minds whenever we sing those songs? Are we thinking what the words are really saying there? It is God that gives us all of these things. We need to be respectful to Him. We need to thank Him for all of these things that He does for us. But we are too self-focused. We are too oftentimes ungrateful. Too oftentimes we are unfaithful. Unfaithful in our time, and unfaithful in our talents. What can we do for God? What gift has He given us to do? That is our talent. That's what God gives us. That's our gift. What are we doing with it? Are we using it for Him? Are we using it at all? Or just letting it lie dormant? We need to be faithful to God in our time, in our talent, and in our tithes. Our tithes. God's financial plan for carrying on His work. All three elements, time, talent, and tithe. We need to make sure that we're doing what we should for God. What to do? What to do? What Haggai let these people know at his point in time. Return to God. Recognize God. Put Him in the right order. Put your priorities in order. Put God first. When you work out your budget, almost everybody has a financial budget that they have to live by. A budget is everything you have to expend, everything you have to pay, every one of your bills, everything you have to buy. Your food, your clothing, the gas in your car, the utility bill, the taxes on the house mortgage payment. Everything that you spend money for is part of your budget. What should be the first thing that goes on the budget list? The tithes to God. Doing right to God. Just like God has a solution for every problem in your life. You put Him at the top to consult Him about everything in regard to your life. Your budget, God should go down first, because His Word lets us know that He expects us to honor Him and respect Him by doing what is right, by giving Him what the Bible calls a lot of the time the first fruits of our labor we bring in to God. And that can be put in another term and be used to let us know that the first thing that we should do in establishing our budget is to put God down first. Budget in God, if you want to look at it like that. But really, it's showing honor and respect to the Lord to make sure that we have tithes and offerings to give to Him. We need not to ever leave God out or put Him off. If you would, stand with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this blessed Holy Sabbath day. We thank You, Lord, for the words of Haggai. We thank You for Your words through Haggai to the people of his time and to us today. Consider Your ways. Evaluate Your life and Your decisions. And Heavenly Father, let us not be as the people of Haggai. Let us not have to be reminded to put You back in priority one, to put You at the top of our life and consult You on each and everything that comes to us. Because that's the way that You have for us. That's the answer to a lot of our problems. And Heavenly Father, we thank You for every one of the words and the thoughts that we read today. We thank You, Lord, that You brought each one into Your house. We ask that You will go with us and guide our steps, guide our path. Heavenly Father, bring into Your house and into Your family those loved ones of ours that we would love to see know You and be one of Your children. And each one of these things, Lord God, we ask in the name of Your loving Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Everybody's dismissed. Anybody that has a special prayer that you want anointing with oil, if you would come up to the altar and we'll pray for you.